The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Greetings. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Tuesday, July 14th edition of the Stay Home with John and Kathy. Kathy, good to see you. Mm-hmm. How are things in the spare room?
Things in the spare room today are just fine. Pretty temperate. I got the window open, fan on, ceiling fan, not too bad.
Very nice.
In your spare room, John?
Good. AC is on.
Okay.
I feel fine. I feel great. Good. Yeah.
Mike, in the studio, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Mike, let me ask again. You are in the studio. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
We waited a long time for that.
Wow, that was really...
Well, okay. All right. We're all okay.
I forgot my headphones. I had to hurry up and get my headphones. So okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so it's Tuesday. When did we officially leave the studio? Do you remember?
I think it was March 12th or something.
Okay. March.
March, April, May.
Four months into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe? Okay. Well, you know, remember years ago we did the Ride Home Snow Mound contest?
Yes, we did.
Right at Seven Parkway Center, whenever there's a big snow, the snow plows come in and they push it all to one side. And it's like this gigantic pile of snow. And one year we had impressive snowfalls. So that thing was super, super high.
Amazing. Impressive even.
So we had a contest where we said, here's a picture with Kath and I standing in front of it. When will the last of the snow be gone? Mm-hmm. Right? People were saying, April, May. Some people said August. It went away. It melted super quick. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We gave away a prize.
Yeah.
Why don't we put a target date? Why don't we have a contest where we say, when will the ride home become the ride home once again?
When will we be back in the studio, you mean?
Yeah, you and I and Mike back together again, kind of like Hall & Oates, back in the studio. Okay?
Like Hall & Oates and the other guy.
Hall & Oates, back together again, right?
Oh, right, of course.
Right, that song. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Give me something.
Great idea.
What's your date?
You're asking me to start this? You haven't given me any warning at all to give some kind of just, like
this is off the top of my head. Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
If I'm guessing, I'll say January 30th.
Oh my gosh, I was going to say January 20th. Literally, I was going to say January 20th.
That's my date, January 30th.
Mm.
All right.
That's a long way.
Okay.
From now.
Should we take some notes here? Here's my Post-it notes.
Okay. Should I put a post up on Facebook?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. January 30th is our first official day back in the studio. Well, let me look at the calendar.
I pick January 20th.
Kath, January 20th. Mike, don't be pulling like some Price is Right thing on me here and say January 25th or something.
I was going to say the 29th.
I love that about you, Mike.
Rip off.
I was going to say the 29th. You know what? I think...
You want to go earlier or later?
I'm going earlier. I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I think I'm going August 25th.
What? Right. You are not.
I love that.
There's no 25th. Way.
Don't you minimize him. Now, you allow him to be his own person.
Okay.
Minimize him.
All right, dear. Sounds like a family conversation about the kids.
I'm defending the kid.
August 21st, you're saying, Mike.
Yeah. I want you guys back. I miss you here. I'm
lonely.
That's
delusional. Thanks, Mike. I miss you, too. It's delusional to think we'll be back in studio by August 21st because we may be dead by August 29th.
That's really a nice way to look at it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Honestly.
You never know, Kath. You never know.
What is wrong with you? Okay. So I'm going to put something up on Facebook, but it won't happen until the end of the show because, of course, there's a radio show to do. We have a terrific show coming up today. But before I give you any details about that, Mike, what's your name, John?
My name is John Hall.
I have to hear the latest on Lady Antebellum, which is now Lady A.
Lady A.
Please give me the update.
Okay, so country trio Lady Antebellum announced a new change in mid-June amidst the national reaction about racism. It was meant to be a gesture of goodwill, right? So they chopped off the offending word, Lady Antebellum. Not lady. They didn't. They chopped off the offending word of antebellum, and they changed it to Lady A. However, somewhere in this great country of ours, there was already an entertainer by the name of Lady A, a 61-year-old black singer in Seattle. Her name is Anita White, and she recorded and performed music with it for decades. Now, in the days afterwards, Anita White spoke with Rolling Stone about a shock. The band connected the singer, posted on Instagram. The two parties were working toward an agreement. However, as of yesterday, this has all fallen apart because Lady A, the original Lady A, she said that she asked for $10 million in payment to give up her name. And Lady Antebellum says, quote, "We are so sad to share that our sincere hope to join together with Anita White in unity and common pursuit has ended." White said, "Look, I'm asking for $5 million for myself for the inconvenience and $5 million that I would donate to Black Lives Matter." Lady A, the band, has said, "We don't have $10 million. Even if we did, we don't have it." Now, in anticipation of this, months and months ago, apparently, it looked as though Lady A, the band, Lady Antebellum, the band, had filed federal trademarks for the name Lady A. So they hold, so even if Lady A, the singer in Seattle, had Lady A trademark, it would just be specific for the state of Washington. It's she doesn't hold a federal trademark.
Okay.
So now Lady A, the band, is looking like the bad guy because they're not, you know, they're not going to give money to Lady A, the singer in Seattle, who's had the name already. So so it comes down, of course, always to legalese.
Yeah.
And entertainment law attorney Lawrence Iser, who's represented artists like Jackson Brown, he says this. He believes that the band Lady A's claim is incredibly strong because it has been using the mark continuously, thereby owning common law trademark rights. I did not know this since 2006, even though it used Lady Antebellum in all fan-facing materials. The band also obtained a federal registration for a trademark of Lady A as far back as 2011.
Okay, so they've already trademarked the name, the band has.
A long time ago.
Oh, well, that changes things a bit.
Yeah, it does. So they said, you know, we're trying to, you know, make some sort of common agreement, but the demands are too outrageous. And Anita White says, well, okay, well, I'll see you in court.
Okay, so $10 million is an obscene amount for the singer from Seattle to bring up.
But that's her career. I mean, she's been doing this as her career, right, for 20-plus years.
It's still an obscene amount of money. I think that's unreasonable. However, Lady A, the band, is completely missing out on the point of what they say they're doing.
Well, it's kind of funny that they changed their name because of, you know, racial overtones. Now they're involved in racial overtones with a black singer.
No kidding. So they need to find a way interpersonally to work that out. Not in the press and not between lawyers, but they need to use their incredible wealth, which I know the three of them have, and they need to fly to Seattle and they need to sit down with this woman.
Right.
And they need to make it right.
Right. What do you think would be the settlement? What would you do?
I don't even care what the settlement is. I just think that they need to come up with one if they're really serious about being a peacemaker, if they're invested in seeing America and their music and the industry in a new way, then this is their chance to have the rubber meet the road.
Yes.
And because they're the big band and she's the local band, the onus is on them.
So it's a pretty big gap between $10 million and zero at this point.
Yeah, $10 million is ridiculous.
Yeah, $10 million or zero.
But that's what happens. When you're the person with privilege, then it's up to you to figure out how you can show, if you're a believer, show the love of Jesus to someone and to be as understanding and giving as you possibly can. I'm not saying that they get run over, but I'm saying that they have to be willing to give up something significant. Right. It's just how I feel about it.
Well, it's one of those things. We'll file that under to be continued.
It is kind of funny though, right?
Yeah, it is very
funny. Someone tries to be like super woke and all of a sudden like an actual instance like presents itself and they're like, ah.
Oh, no. Do you have a favorite a song from the band, Lady A?
I do not listen to that band. I don't know them.
Ever?
I've probably if you said this is their biggest song, I'd say, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that was them.
Yeah. Again, for me, that sort of files on. I could walk down the street and trip over Lady A, the band, and have no idea who they were.
No, I agree.
That's all.
Mike, are you a fan?
You a fan?
I haven't heard one song from them. I
never.
Maybe have heard it on the radio.
Look, so aren't you glad you stopped by the radio show? Because between the three of us, we have absolutely nothing.
No, nothing.
You know, skin in the game.
I was thinking, what if this is going to? What if the same thing is going to happen to the Washington Redskins? Like when they change their name.
Oh, well, do you know that in advance of this, somebody already filed all these trademark rights?
Yeah. And I heard that they've already decided on what their name is going
really?
To be. Really? Yeah. What the band's going to be called? Last night. What the team is going to be called.
Washington Redskins are going to change their name to Lady Antebellum. Okay.
Because the band doesn't need it anymore.
No. Yeah.
So,
hey, that was a good idea. Just pick that up. Plus, we get the merchandising rights.
I heard the Redskins know what they want to be called, but they are searching out the trademark situation before they announce
You it. Know that's right. Of course, they've got to make sure all their I's are dotted, the T's are crossed before they do anything.
All right. I wish we could play a Lady Antebellum song, but because we're streaming, we have no ability to play anything. You know why? Because it's trademark violations. Okay. Coming up, my friends, on the ride home today in the 5 o'clock hour, our friend Father Lou Vallone, retired Catholic priest, bike riding, ponytail wearing, ministry
outlaw.
Doing.
Lou He's Vallone. An outlaw.
We love him. He's going to be here at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk about what it's like to be a local priest right now, what his life's been like, and if he's been out on the open road. I bet he has, trying to get away from the coronavirus.
Beautiful out there, right? Sure.
Also in the 5 o'clock hour, a virtual concert is coming to Pittsburgh. So we'll talk to Sidewalk Prophet's Dave Fry about that. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, John, Michael Brown will be with us to talk about evangelicals at the crossroads. But before we do that, we'll meet with Ryan Burge. He's in the On Deck Circle, the erosion of confidence in our institutions, whether it's the Boy Scouts, whether it's Congress or the church, it doesn't seem like we believe in much anymore. No, we'll talk about it next. It's the Tuesday edition of The Ride Home.
WORD.
Do you believe in miracles?
You will when you enter the Colton Dixon Miracles Matchup. Miracles just happen like that. You could win a special Colton Dixon prize pack or win a spot performing with Colton on video. Submit your name for the prize pack or submit an audition video of you playing keys to be considered for the video with Colton.
Get your entry in today for the Colton Dixon Miracles Matchup, now at wordfm.com/Colton.
So this is a true story. Quarantine 2020. My buddy is trying to convince his 8-year-old daughter to finish her spelling in the midst of their homeschooling. She's begging to go outside and play. So she says with confidence, "Dad, hello, H-E-L-O. I've got spelling down." What I took from the story was, teachers are crazy awesome. They're just built with some advantages that allow them to educate our kids in awesome ways. And at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed with a pretty special advantage in our world. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Now streaming on SalemNow.com is the brand new film, Selfie Dad. Selfie Dad, a funny yet powerful movie about a Christian dad in a midlife crisis. When confronted with the life-changing truths of the Bible, he learns the only way to have true happiness.
God can do incredible things.
Selfie Dad stars Christian comedians Michael Jr. and Shonda Pierce.
Watch Selfie Dad at SalemNow.com and use promo code Pittsburgh to save 20%. That's SalemNow.com, promo code Pittsburgh.
Everyone's sitting at home and losing confidence in every living thing around them, whether it's family, friends, institutions. Our confidence is at an all-time low. Yep. Dr. Ryan Burge is with us. He is professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University, where he teaches American institutions, public administration, and international relations. Dr. Burge focuses largely on the intersection between religiosity and political behavior. Here today to talk about that particular lack of confidence. Dr. Burge, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, John. Hey, Kathy. Glad to be back.
Yeah, thank you.
Always fun to have you here. So let's think about it. Nobody goes to the Elks Club anymore. Nobody likes the Boy Scouts. Nobody likes the Girl Scouts. Everybody's mad at Congress, and half of the people don't like the church. So it doesn't sound good, Ryan.
No.
Yeah. So when social science talks about, you know, the glue that holds us together, there's really three pieces to it. It's interpersonal trust, which means like you just trust a random person you meet on the street. Institutional trust, meaning you trust like the government or religion or business. And then the last is social capital, which is the last that you talked about, which is sort of the idea that we're bound to a place and we care about that place. And unfortunately, all the data seems to indicate that on all three of those measures, we're getting worse. We trust people less. We trust institutions less. We're less tied to place. We care less about our community and our neighborhood. And all those things portend a very scary future for America.
Wow. All three of those things at one time. Now, Ryan, I wonder, I mean, as long as they've been, you know, polling and all that, this is the first time that all three things are in play at one time? Or is this a typical sort of, you know, across the board, total lack of confidence?
Yeah, it's a long-term trend in terms of institutional confidence. I mean, even things like a trust in medicine. It was about 2/3 of Americans trusted medicine a great deal, and now it's closer to 40%, even 35% among some subgroups. So you're talking about a half, you know, a drop in half in confidence in medicine, which is, you know, super scary in the time that we're in right now, when we're all relying on medicine to solve the COVID problem. When even a vaccine comes out, let's say that, you know, if the confidence is so low that only 40% or 50% of the public gets the vaccine, we're nowhere near herd immunity, and we might not get over COVID for 5 or 10 years because of the lack of trust we have in things like doctors and medicine and vaccines. So, I mean, this is real. This isn't just some, you know, theoretical exercise. This could have real practical implications for the future of American society and American economy and American well-being.
Okay, Ryan, let's talk about what has contributed to this erosion. We've talked endlessly, as you can only imagine, on our show about every issue regarding the church, whether it's the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, the sexual abuse in the Amish and Mennonite community, the problems at the Sovereign Grace denomination in the South, the problems at Willow Creek in Chicago. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So we see moral failings in the church overall. Is that the number one driver?
So, you know, interestingly enough, the question, you know, how much confidence do you have in organized religion? Even back in 1975, only half of Republicans and 45% of Democrats said they had a great deal. So we've never really had a whole ton of confidence in organized religion, even, you know, 40 years ago in the good old days, like, you know, before the media, 24-hour news cycle and all these things. Now it's dropped precipitously. Now it's about 1/4 of all Republicans said they have a great deal of organized religion, and it's less than 20% of Democrats. I think it is those things. I mean, I think that these scandals coming to light, you know, at some point we have to say, like, there are a lot of terrible things the church did before 1975 that we didn't know about because no one investigated things like this.
Right.
And now they're coming to light. But I also think that the stories, and this is just how the news works, the good stories typically never make it to the news. The churches that are helping out, doing good, never doing wrong, being fiscally responsible, you know, never having a scandal, those churches don't make any newscasts. And you hear about the one or the two or the 10 out of 100,000 churches that do something wrong, and that makes the national news. So it sort of poisons the well for all of organized religion. Really, it's only a very small number of bad actors that do that.
I see. Okay, so Ryan, so then all the institutions, the media, mm-hmm. religion, the Supreme Court, Congress, is there any institution that Americans have said, yes, I have confidence in? Any growth anywhere?
The military, yeah. I mean, that's been a constant trend up since the mid-1970s. Now, over 70% of Republicans have a great deal of confidence in the military, but even over half of Democrats, too. I would think that has more to do with the fact of Vietnam and all sort of the backlash from Vietnam and, you know, fighting people over there, and the troops came back over here and were ridiculed and really, you know, they were treated poorly. And now since then, we've sort of had a revolution in the way we think about the military, and we sort of idealize them in a lot of ways. But every other trend line is either downward from 1975 or at least flat since 1975. That's the only institution you can say in America today that we have more confidence today than we had in the mid-1970s.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. So I hear people say this. I don't have any confidence in anything. Thank God I have confidence in Jesus because he can't come soon enough. And I get that, yeah. Of course, right? I mean, the world's an absolute mess and this is not our home. How does that work in people who are, you know, not believers? You would imagine that mm-hmm. despair would be so deep. If you've got no confidence in or faith in Christ, well, then everything's, mm-hmm. you know, held in a handbasket.
Yeah. You know, I heard a preacher one time say that cynicism is the easy way out. It's become the cool thing to do, to be as cynical as yes. you possibly can be. But really, it's just laziness. Being cynical, it's like not believing in anything. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust corporations. I don't trust my, you know, my church. I don't trust my local government. I don't trust my federal government. Like, that is such like that's such a terrible way to go through life, because if you don't trust anybody, you're constantly going to be on guard. You're never going to open yourself up to joy in friendships and relationships that can make your life more enriching. It's just such a terrible way to live, because we're supposed to live in and among each other. We know that human beings are inherently social animals and social creatures, and we need things like the church to give us a sense of purpose, a sense of place, a sense of belonging. And if we have the cynical worldview, like all the church is corrupt and they just want your money and they'll steal all your money and they're going to, you know, do terrible things to kids. Like, there's so much joy that happens in church in very minute, small ways every Sunday that lots of people miss out on that because they're just so cynical about the world. And unfortunately, these are not easy patterns to overcome. I mean, you can't just do this in one day or one, you know, even one year or one decade. It's going to take a long time for America to realize what they can have faith in and what they can't.
Dr. Ryan Burge is with us. Ryan is professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University, where he teaches American institutions, public administration, and international relations. Ryan, I want to ask you about information. Had an interesting conversation at dinner last night. My husband and I and one of our daughters, she is just graduating from high school, turned 18, and we were talking about being aware of the news, being kind of locked into the news cycle. How much is too much? How much is not enough? And she said, look, for me, she said, I don't want to read anything about anything. I don't want to know, because every time I go to look something up, I find just as much information on that point of view as the other point of view. And I don't know who's telling the truth, and I don't have enough time to figure it out. And when I try to sort it, it becomes overwhelming to me. And I just realize there's just too much information out there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That breaks my heart, honestly.
And she was not just, it wasn't just an intellectual thing for her. It was an emotional thing. Like, she was really bothered by the fact that every time she went to look up an issue, or even a news story, there were so many different viewpoints of an actual news story. And so I thought to myself, having the internet and having so much information at our fingertips, I think hasn't helped us nearly as much as we imagined it would.
Yeah, there's this term that the Soviets used to use, the KGB used to use back during the Cold War, called useful idiots. They would plant information in people that they would then replicate and tell other people, and basically kind of pass on this propaganda about, you know, the Russians and their military strength and that. I think we all have to be very cautious that we're not being useful idiots, right? Like, we're not being told a line and it's repeating it without any sort of crucial thought or careful think. And honestly, even for me, there are times I get caught up in things like this. I don't, and here's the sad part, I don't have an easy soundbite answer on how to solve the problem with disinformation in America today. I think for me, it's if you trust just one news source, you're doing it wrong. You have to trust numerous news sources, but not trust them all the way, right? Have a nice smattering of a few on the right, but not too far on the right, and a few on the left, but not too far on the left. But, you know, I think generally if you have one or two on the left, one or two on the right, and then you do like an ABC, CBS, NBC, you can't just read one. You've got to read six or seven, which, you know, obviously a lot of kids don't want to do that. And I don't blame them at all. But the reality is you're going to get a story from the left. You're going to get a different story from the right. And the middle is probably going to tell you a little bit of story from the left, a little bit of story from the right. Somewhere in the middle, the truth is there. But it takes so much work now to get to the truth that I totally understand why people give up and say, I don't care. I just know that the implications of that for American society are even more interpersonal trust issues, institutional trust issues, lack of social capital, lack of a feeling of efficacy, like their vote matters, like their voice matters in American democracy. And all those things are very negative when it comes to the future of American democracy and us holding our country together.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so on top of that, I saw something today that David Muir, who is the news anchor on ABC News. Now, I don't know how many people are watching ABC News, but since this all started to happen, since the pandemic has come upon America, I think since March 23rd, that newscast that airs nationally, I think it's 7 o'clock or 6:30 p.m. every evening, is the highest rated program across any media. So broadcasts, cable television, whatnot. It's just held that position. And they're saying it's kind of a throwback to, you know, in the old days when there were three networks and PBS that, you know, in the splintered landscape, one person is holding a position where millions of people are viewing in every night. And I find that fascinating.
I do too. I mean, the one thing we know of the nightly news is it was just dying over time. The number of people watch it goes down and down and down because they have so many more options. But I will say that this is a time when the public's home more. And they're wanting to figure out what's going on in the world more. So they're trying to track the COVID cases. They're trying to track what's going on with the election. And that all that stuff, we know that viewership increases anyway during election year. So you're going to see a natural sort of rise in that. But then you multiply it by COVID, and then you see a lot more people who are home, who are bored, who want some information. So they'll turn to the news. And I do think for all the rhetoric we hear about fake news in mainstream media and all those things, people like ABC, CBS, NBC get it right most of the time. I mean, they're biased because we're all inherently biased, but I think they tell the news in an objective way much more than like your MSNBC or your Fox or something like that. So if I were to say anybody could watch a news broadcast, I think the nightly news on one of the major three networks is probably a very good place to start. And that actually kind of gives me a little bit of hope that Americans are figuring out what is the more neutral news outlet as opposed to maybe Breitbart or Think Progress or Daily Coast or, you know, far left or far right.
Right. I mean, there was a day when it was a newspaper's best interest to be as politically neutral as possible. Of course, those days are long since gone.
Yeah, but we had yellow journalism 100 years ago. They got us in the Spanish-American War, too. I mean, you know, William Randolph Hearst made millions of dollars by printing things that were completely untrue. So, you know, propaganda has been with us since the beginning of time. There was a period with Edward R. Murrow's and Walter Cronkite's when we got back to objective news telling. I do think that guys like Sean Hannity make $20 million a year for a reason, though. People want opinion. They don't just want straight news. Yeah. They want to be told what to think on both sides, by the way, not just one side. That's where the money's at. So the networks go where the money's at. Unfortunately, that's an opinion and not unless in fact telling.
Right. And the problem is that just because that's what people want doesn't mean that's what they really need.
Exactly. Hey, Ryan, before you leave us, Eastern Illinois University, you're a professor there. Can you talk about plans for reopening or not? I mean, both Kath and I have kids in college. Just kind of wondering, you know, what are the plans that are in effect from your perspective as a college professor?
So we are going back in person. We're going to do face-to-face classes. We are doing things like we don't have a big university, so we don't have like huge lectures of 300 or 400 students. So we're lucky in that way. So for instance, a class with 35 students at now will be in a lecture hall that seats 120 students to keep social distancing. Mask wearing is going to be mandatory. I'll be teaching with a mask on and maybe a face shield. Some teachers are going to be teaching behind a big sheet of plexiglass, so it kind of protects them from the students. But we saw our first case of an on-campus student with COVID yesterday, and that's because the football team came back this week. So we are already, gearing up for this to happen again. I think the reality is that almost all schools will go back to online at some point in the fall. I mean, we were joking about what date it'll be, October 1st, September 15th. We don't know, but we know this thing's going to come roaring back in the fall. And when we get an outbreak, we just have to break it up and go back home because we just can't, you know, fiscally, just from a public health standpoint, we can't handle, you know, 200 or 300 students getting sick all at one time with COVID. So, and for us too, we don't want to be around that as well. So it's more likely online for the majority of the fall too. And it's just going to happen gradually over time for different universities.
Heaven help us. Okay. So you're anticipating coming back in real time, but then at some point soon and very soon, everybody goes back home again.
Yep. I think that's going to be the reality for almost every university. And you know what? We were told if we did not do face-to-face, we'd have 10 or 15% of our students leave and try to find a university that was going to do face-to-face. And the reality is we're all going to be in the same boat by October 1st or October 15th. So I don't think it really mattered at the end of the day, but we're trying to do the best we can for our students. And listen, I love face-to-face teaching. I miss it so much. I haven't done it in 4 months now. I'd love to be back in the classroom, but man, in places like Florida, Arizona, Texas, where cases are just raging out of control, I cannot imagine walking into a classroom in Austin, Texas right now and not getting COVID after a couple weeks.
Right.
Dr. Ryan Burge, professor of political science, Eastern Illinois University. Ryan, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. Take a quick break. Come back. Brother, can you spare a dime? Apparently, we're suffering under a national coin shortage. We'll talk about that next. Stick around. It's the 4 o'clock hour, the Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
Today's forecast calls for clear skies, slight winds coming out of the northeast, and customized car insurance from Liberty Mutual, so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
We are welcoming patients back, and we're happy to do so. Although we can't give the normal hugs or handshakes that they might be used to, the same exceptional dentistry, the same compassionate care is still there.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kanodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
101.5 WORD-FM Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word, Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Clear for tonight, low 61. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, the high 89. Clear to partly cloudy. Wednesday night, low 70. Thursday, humid with clouds and sun with showers and a heavy afternoon thunderstorm. High 87. Friday, a shower or thunderstorm. High 86. Partly sunny Saturday, high 88. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Well, brother, can you spare a dime, a quarter, a nickel, anything? Because apparently we're in a national coin shortage. The coin shortage is impacting businesses across the nation. You may have seen that the cash registers at the Giant Eagle or wherever you shop is due to the disruption in the supply chain that happened when stay-at-home orders were put in place and businesses were forced to shutter to help curb the spread of the virus. Those actions halted the normal circulation patterns of the United States coin flow, said the Federal Reserve last month. So it's broken down and it's kind of hobbled together and can't get itself back up together again.
What? So because we've all stayed home, there aren't enough coins circulation? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. The partial closure of the economy, the flow of the coins to the economy has gotten all kind of flummoxed. It stopped, said Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Huh. That and a decline in coin production in an effort to keep employees safe at the mints has left businesses across the region facing more complications as they return to work. Kroger's and other grocery chains are saying, we're not going to give you change. We're going to credit your like Advantage card and you'll make up the cash difference later on. How about that?
The things you didn't know.
Yeah. Good thing you don't have to go to a laundromat. And for those who do, you're suffering for the quarter shortage, right?
Exactly. I bet they have swipies now.
At the laundromat?
They might.
I don't know. I can't speak to that.
All right. Coming up next, Dr. Michael Brown, a host of the nationally syndicated radio program Line of Fire, will be with us. Evangelicals, he says, are at the crossroads. Will we or will we not pass the Trump test? We'll talk about that on today's Ride Home.
WORD.
Turning Point with David Jeremiah.
The reason you aren't going to be bored in heaven is because heaven is everything you've been looking for. And when you get there, the first day there, you know what your biggest expression is going to be? Aha!
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, next time on Turning Point.
This evening at 7:30 on 101.5 WORD.
It's Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale beginning this Thursday. Trinity invites you to bring your better half and get half off half the store. It only happens once a year, where 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, they're not going out of business. They've just lost their minds. And the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale begins Thursday at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road, celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at trinityjewelers.com.
Do you remember what was kept in a spring house? If you're an old-timer, you know that a spring house was used for storing fresh, cold milk. In 84 Pennsylvania, we have another kind of spring house. Our spring house is an old-fashioned country store filled with all kinds of old-time gifts, great country foods, and you guessed it, fresh, cold milk. You see, the spring house in 84 is also a dairy farm where we milk our own cows, pasteurize and homogenize the milk, and sell it all through the store. We've had people tell us it has to be some special kind of gourmet milk. We don't add anything to the cow's diet or to the milk. It's just nature's purest, most perfect food, and we love the way our customers love it. We also make a chocolate milk you would think is a chocolate shake, an old-fashioned buttermilk that people drive miles to get, and a 40% heavy cream that's wonderful for luscious desserts. Our 2% and our skim are the greatest sellers. Come and try some Springhouse milk at the Springhouse in 84.
AT&T, $76 a month. Verizon Wireless, $83 a month. Sprint, $92 a month. That's what the average family of four is saving a month by switching to PureTalk USA. PureTalk will give you unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data all for just $20 a month. Go to PureTalkUSA.com, enter the promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. PureTalkUSA.com, promo code HALFOFF. PureTalk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're not the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
It feels as though we have been living in an election cycle for about 50 years. Like, yes. This is Groundhog Day. Well, of course, it's coming up soon and very soon in November. So what's that going to look like? How will the country respond? And what does that mean? Dr. Michael Brown is back with us. He is the host of the daily nationally syndicated talk radio show, The Line of Fire, the author of more than 40 books. His latest is called Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Will we pass the Trump test? Dr. Brown, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Always great to be with you folks. And what a day to do talk radio, huh? It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Listen, Michael, we never run out of things to say.
Or you things know, you to talk
the
show about. Every
Actually, day I do run out. That's one of the things I wanted to bring up. It is easy to run out of things to say only because everybody has an opinion. I'm so sick of hearing everybody's opinion on everything. And yet at the same time, this is like the culture in which we live. If there's one thing I guarantee you every single person in America has an opinion on, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, Larry King said that probably in every home in America, the name of Trump is mentioned at least once. That's probably a mild understatement. In my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, I said probably in a lot of Christian homes, Trump is mentioned more than Jesus. Yeah. And everybody has an opinion to the point now that if you're the CEO of Goya Foods and you speak well of the president, now they're going to call for a boycott on your product. So things have been weaponized. It's not just a matter of, hey, you know, I think I'm going to vote this way. Nah, I disagree. I mean, we're talking about all out ideological civil war in America over Donald Trump, and evangelicals are right in the middle of this one.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, you know, years ago, decades ago, Richard Nixon was sort of the bottom barrel of the presidency. Now, when you look at news media, I mean, Richard Nixon, by comparison, looks like, you know, St. Gabriel. I mean, how vitriolic have we become, Dr. Brown? It's just a really weird sort of cross-section of America.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we who profess to be followers of Jesus have not done much better. I mean, we savage each other on social media.
Yep.
You know, you have the never Trumpers and the always Trumpers. I have a chapter in the book asking how we fail the love test, and I just have quotes both ways, and then quotes of scripture. The way we're to conduct ourselves, it's not a matter of being weak or spineless. It's a matter of just showing grace and honor and respect. And it's almost as if we have been so emboldened because we have a fighter. Trump fights back. He fights against the left. He fights against China. He exposes the bias in the media. He won't back down. That we become like mini Trumps, that we can just act the same towards each other, whereas we're glad he fights for what's right. We don't like the way he always fights, and yet we take on the same conduct. And somehow we have to be able to have a civil discussion about how we're voting and why, and recognize we can differ on Trump, but we've got to unite around Jesus. We can differ on what's more expedient in terms of a vote, while still being brothers and sisters and standing together, because our communities need us. The world needs us, and the world is watching us, and we are destroying our testimony by our mishandling of things with the president. I believe personally we can justify voting for the president for our pro-life convictions, pro-family convictions, religious liberties, economy, international issues, while distancing ourselves from conduct we don't like, or if he thinks he said something outlandish about the virus or he lies, yeah, I don't like that, but here's the binary choice, here's how I vote. Instead, we savage each other, and then we feel we have to be the president's apologists, that somehow we have to defend him to the world, and it makes us look bad, because for years, remember, the evangelicals, we're the ones shouting, character counts, morality matters. Well, it's not really the case this time because they're more important issues. So we have to say, yeah, character does count. We appreciate the president's character, keeping his promises, doing what he said. That's high of character. That's he's showing backbone. That's great. We don't like when he calls this one a dog or throws Jeff Sessions under the bus or attacks this one or that one. Yeah, we don't like that, or the way he said this about the virus. We don't like that, but here's why we voted for him. He's not our right. savior. He's our president. We make a distinction.
Right. And, you know, he's easy to love. He's also easy to hate. But I wish more than anything, Michael, that he would just stop tweeting.
Yeah, he's his own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And I think for our integrity, we have to say, you know, we think he could do a better job than Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton. And we think the country could go in a dangerous direction because of them. But at what cost to us? In other words, if we are known as Trump's defenders, and we can't wince over a tweet. We, you know, whatever policy statement we have to somehow justify it as if he's Saint Donald, then maybe we get the right justices in the courts and maybe we get a little window for religious liberty, but we've hurt the gospel in the process. And to me, that's part of passing the Trump test to say, hey, when it comes to voting, here's where we vote, but we put the cross before the flag. We don't get caught up in election fever. We put spiritual activity before political activity. In other words, we keep our priorities as followers of Jesus, and we refuse to allow the left or society or social media to dictate to us the importance of the vote. We put the vote in the right context, and we have no problem saying, oh, that tweet, yeah, it's miserable. I'm embarrassed by it. But when it comes to vote, I still rather him versus Joe Biden. Simplify matters.
Dr. Michael Brown is with us, host of the daily syndicated national radio program, The Line of Fire, author of more than 40 books and over 1,500 op-ed pieces. We're talking about his latest work. It's called Evangelicals at the Crossroads. Will we pass the Trump test? Listen, Michael, John, you and me, we are singing the same song.
We surely are.
I have never been in more despair over any cultural issue than watching how Christians have dealt with the person of Donald Trump on both sides. I think that there is so much error on the left and the right when it comes to this man. It's really overwhelming. And I think, to me, the most disturbing part are people who have a public platform like we do, people who are supposed to be educated, who are supposed to be well-reasoned, and who are supposed to be able to see both sides, who can't.
Yeah, and look, we have to boil things down so people understand why we cast votes the way we do, so it makes sense to them. And you know, for example, if we had Rottweilers with rabies going crazy in our neighborhood, attacking children and infecting them, and kids are dying, and we don't have a dog catcher, and we have to hire a dog catcher. One guy's the nicest guy in town, never uses profanity, happily married, his kids love him, but he couldn't catch a single dog with a nuclear bomb. And the other guy, you know, divorced three times, profane, mean-spirited, you know, just nasty to everybody, but he'll catch a dog with his own teeth, and within a day, he'll get all the Rottweilers off. It's like, yeah, I don't like the guy's behavior, but right now, he's got to catch the dogs. So I'm voting for a president for certain purposes, but why am I selling my soul in the process? Why has now my testimony been tied in with Donald Trump? There are people on the always Trump side that if you say one critical word, they blast you. The president needs your support. So he got my vote. That's all he gets. He doesn't get my undying loyalty. Jesus gets my undying loyalty. And then you get people on the never Trump side, and they attack the other side, and they're just as immature. They believe every lie and every libel from the left, and we must step higher. And I am so with you and your approach and your heart in this. And right now, I feel like we have a divine opportunity for a reset. The craziness of the virus, the economic shutdown, the riots, the protests, the upheaval in America. Let's step back, catch our breath, and reemerge as passionate followers of Jesus that put politics way down the list in terms of priorities in their lives. And when it comes time to vote and make our voices heard, we do that. But like you said, it's like 50 years of elections. It's a never-ending election fever, and it's all we think about and talk about. Step back, catch our breath. I give a 10-point strategy in Evangelicals at the Crossroads to have it. Keep our testimony without getting removed from politics, and I believe we can do it, but we've got to do it. Otherwise, it's going to get really crazy.
Fabulous. Dr. Brown, I mean, that is spot on, seriously. Like Cass said, we struggle with this all the time, but when you say, I'm going to put the cross first, I'm a follower of Jesus first and foremost above all things, and then everything else will take a backseat to that, that's the only way that we can look at the world as believers in Jesus Christ. That makes perfect sense. That informs everything that we do, every beating of our heart, every breath in our lungs.
Yeah, and unashamedly so. That's who we've always been. And, you know, I've done surveys on social media and asked, you know, large numbers of people, in your church, how often do you hear a politically based sermon? It's very, very rare. In other words, the feeling that this is all we talk about is not life in the local church. We need to get that message out. You know, we have a few well-known evangelical leaders, and they may make constant public pro-Trump statements, and then it trickles down as if it's everybody. But all of us, whatever platform we have, all of us, the three of us on talk radio, people in their Facebook platforms, in their neighborhoods, and in your own circle, get the message out as to what matters to you most. Don't let others paint you in a corner. and say, well, you have to be this or that. No, be who you are, love your neighbor, make a difference in your community. And then when someone says, why did you vote the way you did, say, well, you know, these are really important issues to me, and just go through the platform. And so that's why I vote. But, you know, Al Mohler, 2016, Southern Baptist leader, he couldn't get himself to vote for Trump. He obviously didn't vote for Hillary. 2020, they said, what do you feel about Trump? He said, he's been a huge embarrassment, but I'm voting for him because the alternatives are impossible. That's what we have to present. And that's the craziest thing of all, that it's almost a vote for Trump versus social anarchy and Marxism. I mean, that's how extreme things have gotten. On the other hand, he is not the savior of America. And if we put our trust in him, we will be bitterly disappointed.
Are you kidding me? That is for sure. Michael, I'm so excited about this project. I mean, I haven't even read it yet, but I'm giving it my full endorsement just because of what you said. Really, really good. That's Dr. Michael
Thank
Brown.
You so much.
The new book is called Will We Pass the Trump Test? Evangelicals at the Crossroad. Michael, thank you.
Always a joy. Thank you.
Our great pleasure. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Hey, look. We've got a few minutes here. The drive-in all of a sudden is hip. Seriously, Kath and I have been there long before the hipness. We're on the cutting edge. Star Wars, number one film in this country. Details about that in a minute.
This is good news. Maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
If you are a caregiver for a family member or loved one, this is an important message. Excel Home Care will pay you to take care of your family member or loved one. Yes, you heard right. You can actually get paid to provide care for those you love. To learn more, contact Excel Home Care today and get started right now. Care and quality when you need it. XL Home Care, 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help at home company.
Every bride is unique, and at URB Bridal and Formal in Bethel Park, every dress is customized to celebrate her unique body shape, from size 00 to 36. High fashion, private label designs made to order, as flattering to your budget as they are to your neckline. Enjoy a personalized, no-pressure luxury shopping experience complete with complimentary champagne and chocolate, and see the entire selection. Find a dress that celebrates you because you are beautiful at urbbridal.com.
So how many of us have lived in sweatpants, socks, and hoodies for the last couple of months? I don't think I even remember what a belt is. Luckily, there's Skechers for your feet. So now they're all staying safe, but starting to get out a little bit for the summer, we can keep that same comfort no matter where we go. Just head to Skechers.com and you can see all the ultra-comfortable options Skechers has to offer. There are comfortable sandals and shoes for running, relaxing, walking, playing golf, everything you love to do under the sun, out of the sun, in the rain, in the house, whatever. And so many are machine washable out of Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. See them all right now at Skechers.com.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
Across the country, there are fewer, far fewer than 1,000 drive-ins nationwide. However, that did not stop The Empire Strikes Back, which was originally released on June 20th of 1980 to be the number one movie across the country last week.
Wait a minute. The number one movie in America last week was The Empire Strikes Back.
That's right. From 1980. Now, by movie standards, oh, it took in a pittance. It only took in $644,000 over 5 days. But believe me, nothing else even came close. Do you know the number one earning movie before Empire Strikes Back this year? January of 2020, a movie called Bad Boys for Life. I don't know what that is. Which brought in $204,000. That's how bad of a year.
$204,000.
That's how bad of a year it's been.
It's a biopic featuring the stories of John Hall and Mike Duffy.
Hey, Bad Boys for... No. Bad Boys for Life. Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
The drive-in. Kath, you know, we've been there. We love it, right?
I've been there with you, but I can't stay awake, so I'm useless. Look, yeah. I get established in my car or my chair with a blanket. I am out.
Listen, I want to go to the drive-in, and there are any number of drive-ins. Dependable Drive-In is open, Evergreen Drive-In, Riverside Drive-In, the Starlight Drive-In, Comet Drive-In, Brownsville Drive-In. I mean, it's cool. Having said that, I'm still a little leery about going to the drive-in because that person next to me, what if they have COVID?
You're outside.
What? I don't know.
Yes, it does matter. Of course it matters.
I have to be far away from that person.
Whether you're inside or outside.
But you're also in your car, though.
How close are you going to be?
I don't know. 20 feet?
I don't think you should worry about going to the drive-in.
Mike, you're not in your car. You're not in your car anymore. You put your folding chair outside, sit outside your car.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. It's the best way. Anyway,
I don't think you should worry about going to the drive-in.
I really want to go.
But on the other hand, I'm not going to the drive-in.
Right. Empire Strikes Back, number one. Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back. That's a fifth thing.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. has carried out the first federal execution in 17 years, putting to death a man who killed an Arkansas family as part of a plot to build a whites-only nation. 47-year-old Daniel Lewis Lee of Yukon, Oklahoma, died at the federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. Wells Fargo losing $2.4 billion in the second quarter, the first quarterly loss for the bank since the real estate crash of 2008. Delta Airlines lost $5.7 billion in the second quarter as the coronavirus pandemic crushed air travel. California's Squaw Valley Ski Resort is considering changing its name to remove the word squaw, a derogatory term for Native American women. The stock market finishing higher today. The Dow picked up 556 points. The NASDAQ gained 97. This is SRN News.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcase, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
This is Tim Seckler inviting you to tune in each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by my law firm, the Seckler Law Firm. Each week, we'll talk about your family's well-being as it relates to elder law, nursing home stays, estate planning, and keeping your hard-earned savings. And if you missed the Life and Legacy Show, you will find it archived at SecklerLawFirm.com. See you Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Word FM 101.5 for the Life and Legacy Show.
Hello, this is Terry Hanna, host of Christians with Secret Addictions. I'm not a pastor, theologian, therapist, or counselor. I'm a Christian with 26 years of healing from multiple addictions. If you or a loved one are lost in the wilderness of an addiction, we're here for you every Sunday evening at 6:45 p.m. on 101.5 WORD. Why not join us on this spiritual journey to the promised land of healing? Talk to you Sunday.
Clear for tonight, low 61. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, the high 89. Clear to partly cloudy. Wednesday night, low 70. Thursday, humid with clouds and sun with showers and a heavy afternoon thunderstorm, high 87. Friday, a shower or thunderstorm, high 86. Partly sunny Saturday, high 88. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along for the 5 o'clock hour, the Tuesday edition of The Ride Home. Kath, good to see you as well. How are things?
Things are well, John. We had an excellent 4 o'clock hour. Really, really interesting conversation. If you missed any of it, you can download our podcast any day of the week. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find our podcast there. So if you're like doing the Spotify or the iTunes or whatever it is, you can always find us there. Also,
now,
our
wait,
website.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Uh-huh.
Do you?
Yeah.
How many? I don't listen to any podcasts.
Really?
No.
I have I have 5 that I listen to.
5, really? Mm-hmm. In rotation, yeah. Or you just kind of go, "Oh, these guys are up. I'm going to listen to that."
No, I kind of go with what, which one kind of comes into my head at the time. To be honest with
All right.
Yeah. One is a daily radio program that I listen to, Michael Medved, who I've loved for a long time,
and
formerly worked at our network. I have a lot of respect for Michael. Really love to hear his perspective on things. I listen to Joe Rogan. I listen to Uncommon Knowledge is my favorite. That's from the Hoover Institution.
Okay. Just curious.
Not that you were asking me. I just decided to.
No, I just was curious. What if, you know, if you're listening to podcasts? I mean, I don't. And so I always often wonder, what are you listening
to? But I would like for people to listen to our podcast. That's what like. So find us wherever you find your podcasts, The Ride Home with John and Kathy. Okay. So in today's Wall Street Journal, an interesting story dealing with the COVID-19 crisis on mental resilience. Mm-hmm. So it's an interview between the author of the piece, Andrea Peterson, and Rick Hansen, who's a clinical psychologist and author of a book that came out last year called Resilient. Mm-hmm. So he spoke with the Wall Street Journal about ways that our brains work in difficult, challenging times and the ways that we can help our brains to work better.
Do you believe that you are a resilient person?
Do I believe I'm a resilient person? Yes. I have become a resilient person.
Through
difficult circumstance. I don't think anybody's born resilient.
Right.
I think you have to become resilient. Right. Now, okay, so maybe defining terms would be helpful, which is what Rick Hansen does at the beginning of this piece. He says, resilience is what helps us keep on a relatively even keel when the waves come. And if we get knocked over, which happens all the time, it helps us to recover. Mm-hmm. Resilience consists of psychological strengths like grit, compassion, gratitude, emotional intelligence, and agility. I love that. That's the flexibility that we've talked about so much on our show. Yep. He says, we're probably in for a rocky year. So the people who are more resilient are the people that are going to perform better and who are going to feel better as we continue on the COVID-19 situation.
Right. Okay. So in reading this article, what was interesting to me, and of course, you know this, he says that the brain has a negativity bias.
Yeah.
That we are born in many ways to be negative. So, you know, it gives us this example of, you know, you sit down for a performance review with your boss. He says 10 things. Of those 10 things that he says, 9 are good about you, but 1 is really negative. When you leave the room and you're lying in bed at night, you know, mulling over things, that's what you are fixating on.
Right.
And those of us who can somehow look at that and see the negativity, you know, that's within us, but still get beyond that and turn that somehow into a positive thing, you'll be more resilient.
Yeah. So he says you should hear the bad thing that your boss said or that one negative comment that was in your job performance evaluation. You have to hear it and deal with it. But then you have to turn to the good and take it in. He said, you have to let the good sink in, no matter how crazy you feel doing it or how, you know, nutty it is. You actually have to recognize that your brain is going to go for the negative first. And so you have to help your brain to be as healthy as possible.
Okay. So I wonder about this. And you know, I'm sure there's been, you know, a lot of studies and films and books written about this. When you look at people in the absolute worst circumstances, and I would say, you know, absolute worst circumstance, you're in a concentration camp in World War II for indeterminate amount of time. You don't know if you're going to live to see the end of this day, and it goes on forever and ever and ever, if you're fortunate. That resilience, that sort of resilience, I mean, that's something that is innate. And we've talked to Holocaust survivors on the air, Kath, and, you know, I mean, always positive attitude, gratitude, this sort of, you know, tough as nails demeanor, but at the same time, very sweet and kind.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from.
Well, in my life, I can just tell you it's come from God, because the Holy Spirit promises to never be away from us, to never abandon us to our own worst impulses. And so we as Christians are the most blessed that we have the Holy Spirit who's decided to live inside of us, right?
Yeah, yes.
This guy says that as a psychologist, and being a psychologist and being a Christian are not opposite things, right?
No.
These are things that should be worked together if you are a psychologist and a believer. Anyway, he says, as a psychologist, I say, first find your footing. In other words, in any kind of shaky situation, you want to slow down, you want to listen to the experts, you want to find out what's really going on, and then you need to make a plan, and then you need to work your plan. So when you're dealing with massive uncertainty on a large scale, like every single one of us is with COVID-19, you can at least be sure about one thing. Just have a plan for today.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I took from this is that he says, you know, he talks about breath, you know, slowing things down. And if you slow things down enough, you will start to lose, which is fascinating, your verbal activity, because verbal activity is a driver of rumination and worry.
Yes.
Right. So prayer will take you out of that verbal activity. Right. You listen to yourself, you slow down, and then start to engage in a part of the brain where you can reduce activity, the default mode network, and you just start to let it slide off of you. I believe, you know, when you talk about people who are, you know, Eastern religions and they do transcendental meditation and all that, right? That's really part of what that is. But of course, we know we're deeper and stronger in that when you have prayer at the center of that. It's easy for us. Mm-hmm. The more you pray, of course, the easier it is to pray. And it comes in the center of things. All that verbal activity, all that fear, all that anxiety, all that anger, all that whatever, that stuff that you carry, it will tend to float away if you sort of involve yourself and are consistent in that.
Listen, he says in this article, John, you're going to love this sentence. There's a lot of research on who does well in emergencies. It's the people who are calm and centered who live. People who are calm and centered. He says carving out just 10 minutes a day just to sit there with a cup of tea and stare into space is good. You need to be able to just take a minute and do nothing. You can't be crazy, busy, irritated, anxiety filled all the time. It's just It doesn't make you a stronger person, even though you feel like you're so busy and accomplishing so many things and you're so needed and all of that. The bottom line is if you can't just sit and think for a minute, you're not going to be able to be the person that handles all the demands that are on
you. That's cool. Okay. I was telling new Mike this story the other day. Years ago, we were doing this show. I get a phone call in the middle of like the 5 o'clock hour. And it was a phone call from my two sons. And apparently upstairs, the little valve from the toilet had broken somehow and it became disconnected. And water, they've got a room down below the bathroom downstairs where they have their computers. Water was gushing down from the ceiling. And my youngest son called me and he was like wailing, "Dad, I didn't let go of the water, Dad." And in the background, my oldest son, who's just only 2 years older, he's going, "Give me the phone. Let me have the phone. Let me talk to Dad." And then he gets on the phone. "Dad, what should I do?" And then I quickly explain, run upstairs, turn off the little valve at the bottom of the toilet, and the water will stop. I think about that a lot because it's like the true personality.
There's this
explosion. You're running around. And the other person is like,
"Now, wait a minute.
Slow down. What can we do to work our way through this process?"
And if you are able to make yourself, if you're not a person who naturally does that, it doesn't mean you can't learn how to do that.
No.
You really can learn how to do that. And then when an emergency comes up, you are able to be more clear thinking than you ever thought you would be because of that. Okay. Now let me bring up another thing, John, that really reminded me of what we learn in scripture and just the unbelievable wisdom of the Bible. So in multiple places in the New Testament, I was looking here at Matthew 16, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it," right? There's this paradox that Jesus talks about, right? This psychologist says, self-preoccupation creates a lot of anxiety and stress, but taking care of other people actually clinically reduces stress hormones in your own body. It protects your heart and it strengthens your immune system.
Wow.
Right. So when you think, "Oh my gosh, I have so many problems of my own, I can't possibly take care of somebody else." But the truth is, whoever wants to save their life has to lose their life. If we want to be healthy people, the way we're going to be healthy people is we're going to be outward focused and we're going to be caring for others.
That's really
just excellent. The way God's made us to be.
Okay. Fabulous. All right. So be resilient. Keep the focus off yourself, serve others, slow down, breathe, lose your verbal activity for a little bit. Pray, clarity will come to you. I believe it's true. Mm-hmm. I think we've lived it.
All right. We have a great 5 o'clock hour ahead of us. In the On Deck Circle, our good friend Father Lou Vallone is going to talk to us about what it's like to be a Catholic priest now. Does it change during COVID? And is he still biking all over the place? We'll talk about that next on The Ride Home.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
101.5 WORD.
Do you believe in miracles?
You will when you enter the Colton Dixon Miracles Matchup. You could win a special Colton Dixon prize pack or win a spot performing with Colton on video. Submit your name for the prize pack or submit an audition video of you playing keys to be considered for the video with Colton.
Get your entry in today for the Colton Dixon Miracles Matchup now at wordfm.com/Colton.
It's Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale beginning this Thursday. Trinity invites you to bring your better half and get half off half the store. It only happens once a year, where 50% of all their jewelry will be going for 50% off. No, they're not going out of business. They've just lost their minds. And the savings will be ridiculous. Trinity Jewelers half off half the store sale begins Thursday at Trinity Jewelers Mount Nebo Road, celebrating life's closest relationships for over 20 years at trinityjewelers.com.
I was talking to my sister about refinancing, and she reminded me about her first refinancing experience years ago. It was about 25 years ago. And she didn't try to understand the process. Basically, she just picked the company's name out of a hat, hope for the best. Well, in that process, she talked to six different people in the same company. And the night before she was to sign the papers, they called to say they had miscalculated. And please, when you come in tomorrow, bring a check for $950. Now, clueless about the process, she complied and went in with a check for $950, signed all the papers, and that was that. Oh, and at the signing, the agreed upon interest rate was different. Years later, my sister cringes at her inexperience and still feels foolish knowing that she'd been duped. At United Faith Mortgage, that story is never going to happen. Their small family team allows them to give you personal one-on-one service, and you'll be with that same person all the way through the process, upfront, transparent, from start to finish. Family and faith are at the middle. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage lender license number 22672.
Learning has definitely changed these days. What hasn't changed is the unwavering support parents received from their local Christian school. Many were quick to adapt to the new normal, with remote classes taught by caring teachers who pray for students and their families every day. With many schools offering half-price tuition for first-time enrollees, like Eden Christian Academy in the North Hills, it's a great time to consider Christian education. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
Well, what happens when a pastor, a priest, a minister retires from active work? Well, Father Lou Vallone is with us. Father Vallone is a former Catholic priest. I guess he's still a Catholic priest, although he's just retired from his regular duties. And he's been with us in the past. We love Father Lou because he's a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. He just tells it like it is. He's just a no BS kind of a guy, and just always good to have a conversation. We tend to sort of roll around downstream and find our way to a place where we end up talking about Jesus. But Father Lou, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad to be back with you.
Thank you.
Oh, Lou, well, we wish we could be in the studio with you, but of course, you know, I'm broadcasting from my spare room. John's broadcasting from his spare room, and Mike is in the studio, and you are where you are, so we're going to do the best we can. Father, yeah. Lou, the last time we were together, we were talking about you retiring and how your life was going to change. Little did we know that COVID-19 was right around the corner and all of our lives were going to change. So talk about your ministry in this era. What's it like?
Well, actually, it's worked out exactly what I had hoped for my retirement. The COVID thing has really not been a very heavy burden on me because what I intended to do in retirement was a lot of personal things like personal coaching, some canon law work, some spirituality and leadership training for priests. And I've been able to do all of those things thanks to Zoom.
Oh, really?
What has changed is sometimes I was supposed to travel. So I was supposed to do priest retreats in Saskatchewan and in Nova Scotia. I wasn't allowed to travel there, so we set them up on Zoom. And all of the priests were in their various rectories. I was in mine, and I did a whole week's worth of retreat. The only thing different was that when we had happy hour in the evening, we couldn't clink glasses. We just had to lift them to the screen.
Oh, there's always a downside, Lou, isn't there?
I've done priest retreats over Zoom, and then I do one-on-one human formation coaching. Fabulous. And that's all over Zoom. And so I'm putting in 30, 35-hour weeks.
Whoa. Okay.
So that's for personally what I'm doing.
Yeah.
In terms of the parish and helping out in the parish, it was very difficult when we weren't allowed to have anybody anywhere. So we kept our regular mass schedule. I'd go over at 10 o'clock to have mass and have it in an empty church. But since the beginning of June, we've been having our masses outdoors. So we keep social distancing. We wear masks. But the people are there and I'm there, and God's been good. We've had beautiful weather. So now all of our masses are like going to a God-sponsored picnic.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Mm. All right. So then it really hasn't affected you that much, which I'm surprised. I mean, last time we were kind of unsure. I think the last time we talked, you were sort of filling in for other priests to, you know, who were on vacation, who were ill or whatnot. Are you still doing that? Do you still make hospital visits? I mean, how does that work?
Well, no, I don't make the hospital visits because they've restricted themselves to the designated hospital chaplains.
I see.
So hospitals and nursing homes, priests are still doing them, especially in emergency circumstances, but they have designated priests to do that. They don't just want anybody coming in off the street. I'm still able to have individual appointments. I'm still able to celebrate Mass now that we're doing them outdoors, or have appointments with confession, but we have to set up, you know, the distancing, set them up in a different type of room. I've not been able to do baptisms or weddings, although I've done a couple of funerals at nursing homes. So it has impacted it, but it's not completely wiped everything out.
I see. Lou, we know that you're a motorcycle rider. How's that working in retirement? Are you on your bike, or are you with community of other guys riding their bikes?
Well, I'm on my bike constantly. Motorcycling is the ultimate in social distancing.
Right.
It sure is.
Okay, when you're on your bike, nobody can catch up with you, nor can the little viruses catch up. So I'm on my bike constantly. I do go out. We've had the wonderful weather. And anywhere I go on the motorcycle. But we're not doing the group ridings anymore. Because the idea of the group ridings is, you stop and you socialize and you get something to eat. That part is out of it. So that's taking the fun away for a lot of motorcycle riders. But I do it. I'd have to say I'm averaging maybe 500 miles a week on the motorcycle.
Wow.
Wow. Good for you, Lou.
Wow, Lou, that's fabulous. Father Lou Malone's with us, retired Catholic priest in the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh and a good, good friend of our program. Lou, let's talk about your travels. You said you were hoping to travel. You haven't been able to because none of us can go anywhere. Do you have any connections in Italy? You have any connections with people who have been impacted by COVID-19 in other countries, especially in Europe?
Well, in Europe and Italy, yeah, they were hit very, very badly by it. Started over there, they were unprepared, and so they shut down some of the towns. I usually go over to Rome, you know, occasionally, and that's just shut down. You can't get in. Some of the little towns over there that I would visit, the towns have been locked down. It's been very, very scary over there. We've been fortunate here in Allegheny County. We've been almost untouched by it. You know, I mean, the numbers, of course, have been going up recently. But compared to the numbers over in Europe, we got the first brunt of it and were caught unaware. Really scary over there. Really scary over there. So, I mean, we've been shut off. I've actually lost three or four airline fares, you know, that I've been signed up for and couldn't make the trips. They tell you, well, you can get a voucher. So you call up to try to get a voucher, and the little thing tells you, your call is important to us. You're number 1,472. Hang on the line until we get to you.
Right, right. So when you think about, you know, where we are right now spiritually, Lou, and I've talked to some people, they go, well, you know, COVID-19 is God's judgment on the world. Or, you know, I choose not to wear a mask because God's going to protect me and everything's going to be safe if I just follow along with that. I mean, how are you wearing this thing? The politics notwithstanding, it's really weird for me as a person of faith to see how divided we are as a country.
Well, and that's the sadness of the thing. There are multiple crises going on at once. And people politicize it, okay? But the basic stance for any Christian is not my will, but thine be done. Okay, so St. Paul tells us, you know, well, I try to be all things to all people for a view of saving some. If someone's weak, I become weak. All right, so someone says, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. Well, you know, besides the fact you're ugly and should probably wear it all the time, you're not wearing it for yourself. You're wearing it to protect other people. And anyone who says, I won't wear a mask because of me, and I put my brother or sister possibly in harm's way, it's not exactly a Christian response.
No, it's not.
And someone's saying, well, you know, God's going to protect me. He protects us all 24/7. Doesn't mean he protects us from our own stupidity. Right? And so God has established a natural law. He set the universe in motion according to his law and to his will. And he expects us to cooperate with that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus might have walked on water to prove a point, but that's not going to save the rest of us from drowning if we're, you know, stupid and jump in the deep without being able to swim.
I'm into that. Yeah,
that's good. That's the common sense we love from Father Lou Vallone. Lou, talk about how it's been in the city of Pittsburgh for you. Do you have networks of people that you're still meeting with? Are you doing those on Zoom? And does that work or is that weird?
Well, once you got used to it, you know, I mean, there is, you know, we have a longing for human contact. Okay. We have a longing for seeing each other's faces. We want to see smiles, et cetera. So is Zoom an adequate substitute? It is not an adequate substitute. Okay. But if we didn't have these things now, just think how much more isolated we would be. Mm. To give up a little bit and to get a little bit, to make the best you can do with the situation, not to totally isolate yourself and cut yourself off. We can survive that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when you stop again, let's get biblical, you know, let's get New Testament. You know, St. Paul would go into a community, Thessalonica or Corinth or whatever, and he would intimately and completely involve himself, you know, with those communities. And then he'd move on to the next one. Well, his love and connection didn't end with him, but he probably never saw those people again for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So what could he do? He wrote letters. He joined them every night in prayer. You know, again, as Christians, if we really believe that the physical world is not the totality of reality, if we believe there's a spiritual dimension to us, and a spiritual dimension to God's love, those connections are not broken just because we can't be sitting in the same room with each other.
That's really good. That's good. What about this, Lou? I'm sure you've talked to people, you know, you hear confession and whatnot. I've got a friend who's a drinker. He's tried to, you know, he goes through periods of sobriety, you know, 5 years or so, then he falls off and goes back out again. And, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And we were talking about drinking and he said to me, you know, John, during this pandemic, my sin nature has really eaten me up and I'm just kind of out of control. I can't stop with where I am. I'm in despair. I know that, you know, I'm sinning, but it's just where I am right now. Have you seen that in people's lives? And, you know, I'm sure there's a response to that.
Yeah, we're all down to our last nerve, okay? And the devil is, you know, quite a shrewd and bright person, so he looks for our cracks. He looks for us to be vulnerable, and he gets that little wedge in. So if the wedge is drinking, if the wedge is internet porn, if the wedge is gluttony, wherever the wedge is, he's going to try to get that wedge in there as quickly as he can and drive as wide as he can. All right.
Yeah.
But again, if we believe that the will of God won't take us where the grace of God won't sustain us, he gives us credit for doing the battle. Okay. It's always been my contention that God loves us for our efforts, not for our accomplishments. He loves us because we try, not because we succeed. All right. And so your friend with the alcohol problem, you know, if he's doing his dangest, all right, and doesn't give in to the despair, even if he slips and falls from time to time, he gets credit for that from God because God knows the pressure we're under.
That's good.
Mm. Father Lou Vallone is a retired Catholic priest in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Since his ordination, he shepherded the faith communities of 9 different parishes, 6 of them as pastor, and supervised 7 parishes coming together. Father Lou, we thank you so much for your time with us today and your time historically. All the time we were able to hang out in the studio back when we could be together, we look forward to that day again.
We sure do. Be well, Lou. Thanks again.
I look forward to it again. Stay safe. And keep others safe.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
You too, Lou.
God bless you. We'll take a break, come back. You know, in this woke era that we now live in, everyone, and I mean everyone, is suspect. We're going to talk about John Wayne, of all people, at USC and his exhibition Coming Down. Stick around for that conversation.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax. We would like to thank our Lord for protecting us from evil. Psalm 91 states, He is my refuge and my fortress, for He will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys who specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results.
We are also a small firm who will treat you like family and not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And one way we can achieve that is by being debt-free. So let us help you today. Call us at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS tax debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. Excel Home Care, a help-at-home company.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart. Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture, enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
Clear for tonight, low 61. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, the high 89. Clear to partly cloudy. Wednesday night, low 70. Thursday, humid with clouds and sun with showers and a heavy afternoon thunderstorm. High 87. Friday, a shower or thunderstorm. High 86. Partly sunny Saturday. High 88. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Andy Robb.
Well, we live in this era now where everyone is suspect, and people are willing to go back and look at a person's life, living and or dead, to see a paper trail or a quote trail and call that person out for untoward behavior. No one, and I say this, and of course you do know this, no one is immune from this. So University of Southern California, USC, announced this week that its School of Cinematic Arts will remove an exhibit dedicated to, of all people, John Wayne.
Oh, gosh.
After students protest regarding the actor's racist past. John Wayne attended USC in a football scholarship back in the 1920s. The exhibit honoring him was created in 2012. However, controversy has been brewing for years over John Wayne's 1971 Playboy magazine interview, in which he stated that he believed in white supremacy and made derogatory remarks concerning Black, Indigenous, and LGBTQ people. In the interview with Wayne, with Playboy, Wayne, John Wayne, who died in 1979, stated that he did not feel guilty about the fact that 5 or 10 generations ago, these people, quote, were slaves, in referencing Black people. Furthermore, John Wayne voiced his support of white supremacy. Quote, I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. I don't believe in giving authority and positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people. In addition, John Wayne used a homophobic slur when discussing the film Midnight Cowboy, and he stated that he did not feel that it was wrong for white Americans to take Native American land as, quote, there were great numbers of people who needed new land, and the Indians were selfishly trying to keep it for themselves. So the exhibit's going to go down. Now, look, do I agree with John Wayne?
So you don't want to have John Wayne over for Christmas dinner?
You do not.
Okay.
This was 1971. Mm-hmm. What do you think the world was like in 1971?
Right.
Those views, as odd and as out of step as they are right now, I'm sure were held by any number of millions and millions of Americans who were living and breathing at that time.
Right. But
1971.
But all of those millions of people don't have statues in their honor or portions of universities dedicated to their memory either.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, I don't know what I don't.
Okay. So how about this? John Wayne, over his lifetime, also gave millions and millions of dollars to USC.
Mm-hmm.
So right. Which you're going to take down John Wayne's statue. You want to give the millions of dollars back to his family?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to support John
that's
Wayne.
That's a good
here,
question.
Right? I'm not saying John Wayne.
You're not trying to support John Wayne. What you're doing is trying to help me to realize that there are a lot of sides to this issue, which is what we're missing when we talk about statues or whatever right now, is recognizing that there's a lot of different perspectives on them. And people have, isn't it frustrating though, to think that we've got, you know, our particular cultural perspective that we want to overlay on everyone in the past. But so that's one part of me, right, that thinks that. And I think that that's a real shame. That's cultural snobbery or chronological snobbery. But there's another part of me that says, well, there are things that are just, we believe in God, right? We believe that he's the author of right and wrong. So there are things that are just right and are just wrong,
right?
No matter what era, no matter who else recognized it, if God said that it was right or wrong, it just was right or wrong. I don't know what we do about this, except that we need to do more conversing and less tearing down of stuff until we figure out exactly how we're going to think about it.
Right. I don't know. How do you look at that? Look at that, Mike.
I mean, John Wayne's an actor. Like, no one ever voted for him for office. Nobody ever endorsed him in some other way other than saying, wow, he was good in mid whatever. I've never seen a John Wayne movie, so I don't even know what I'm talking. I mean, well, yeah.
It's funny you bring that up because my guess is all the protesters, for the most part, probably don't even know who John Wayne is. Look, again, I'm not trying to give John Wayne a pass here because what he said was reprehensible. However, it was 1971, and he's talking to the hipsters from Playboy magazine.
Right.
So my guess is he was probably somewhat, you know, a few sheets to the wind, or he was just, you know, playing for the cameras. And even if it was his most intimate thoughts, he's an old guy from 1971 who's an American icon. Who am I going to say, oh, we should just take that thing down?
Right. You know what I would like to know, John? I would like to know when we start not taking Playboy magazine seriously. Like,
I think
when
Playboy magazine,
are we going to get to a cultural place where we're going to look back and not say, wow, John Wayne really sounds like an idiot. We would say, wow, the Playboy empire completely made millions of dollars off of the dehumanization of women. How about we go there? But nobody goes there, right? When we're talking about Playboy
magazine. Because you know why?
What an insightful interview.
Because people read it for the interviews, Kath.
Oh, yeah. They were all about the interviews.
1971, I don't know. I think Playboy magazine is out of business.
I think it is out of business, too.
Right?
But
right.
I'm not sure about that. If it's not out of business, I sure hope it goes out of business in a hot second.
Yeah. Okay. So John Wayne's in the news. I mean, heaven help us. Let's take a break, come back. We're going to talk in just a few minutes to Dave Frey. Dave Frey is the lead singer for Sidewalk Prophets, and they are going to do a virtual concert here in Pittsburgh. We'll talk to Dave Frey from Sidewalk Prophets with those details in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
101.5 WORD.
There's a lot of huffing and puffing going on in the next Adventures in Odyssey. It's another major production as the three little pigs, Goldilocks, and the big bad wolf show up on BTV. Once again, the gang from Odyssey takes to the BTV airwaves, and before it fades to black, a lesson on forgiveness will be learned. Tune in for the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all, the lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcase, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
When it comes to your child's education, do you feel like you have a partner in your current school? Or is it more like you're on your own? As you look ahead to next year, now's a perfect time to consider a quality Christian education with a school who will be a true educational partner for you and your family. Many of our area's finest Christian schools are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like First Baptist Christian School of Butler. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
Well, when's the last time you were at a concert? It's been a while, has it not?
I think the last concert I went to was in September.
September of last year.
2019, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been a while for me as well. And boy, wouldn't you love to just go to a concert and crank it up and be with a bunch of other people and just, you know, have a blast, right?
Yes.
I mean, what the heck? Well, Sidewalk Prophets is coming to Pittsburgh. Dave Fry is with us. Dave is the lead singer of Sidewalk Prophets. Their virtual tour live stream in anticipation for their new album release. The band is sponsoring this event coming up in July. July 29th, I believe, is the date. Dave's with us right now. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Yeah, you know, virtual hugs are free as well. Online. So we are, you know, I think that's probably the thing I'm missing the most is, you know, hitting the road in the bus is not the most fun thing, but it's good. But I miss just like the camaraderie, the community,
yeah,
and the great big family, you know, and so right. We're blessed to be doing these virtual shows, which, you know, we've been spending a lot of time, you know, getting as good as we can and threw in some 3D elements and some interactivity so that we want to transport you from your couch or your living or wherever you're watching to feel like you're at a concert. And then that's our great desire.
That's cool.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So the show is July 24th, sidewalkprofits.com for tickets availability. Dave, you're also doing a really cool thing. You're offering a 3D experience. Talk about Sidewalk Prophets 3D. What's that going to look like?
Oh man, yeah. So if you have those, you know, those old 80s red and blue glasses, 3D glasses. Yeah. If you have those lying around, if you don't, you know, you can get them at sidewalkprofits.com. But it actually, you put them on and it's surreal, like how far 3D has come. Back in the day in the 80s, when you put them on, they're like, oh, okay, I maybe see it. It's like those magic eyes where you have to cross your eyes and stuff. But this time, like, you literally feel like you're going to fall into your TV. So we have a couple songs that when the live stream happens, they're in 3D and a couple other moments and elements. It's just a fun addition, you know. But on top of that, you know, we have chat feature where fans can vote on songs that we otherwise wouldn't have played during the show. We really are just trying to make it Pittsburgh-centric as well, because I truly believe Pittsburgh is maybe the most underrated city in America. You guys are amazing, especially coming through the tunnel and you just see the yellow and the joy. You know, like, I love me some Pittsburgh, and I wish we could be there physically, but since we can't, this is as close as we're going to get. It's going to be awesome.
Cool. Dave Fry's with us, lead singer of the Sidewalk Prophets, talking about a virtual Pittsburgh concert on July 24th. Yeah. Let's go back to all of this love you have for Pittsburgh, Dave. Sure. Talk about pierogies. Have you had them?
Oh, I've loved me some pierogies. I love, you know, Permane Brothers sandwiches, also a staple. And that might be a tourist thing, but even I'm a tourist still, you know, and going up on the hill and overlooking the city is one of the most beautiful views in America. And so I love, I'm not a Steelers fan, but at least on Patriots, that we can all agree on is way worse. And so, you know, I love anytime we get to go, even the old Market Square there. I think it's called Market Square, but they have
Dave, you're working, man. You know, you got some Pittsburgh cred. You're doing there. Just fine. Friday, July 24th at 7 o'clock, sidewalkprofits.com. Hey, Dave, this is cool. So all you got to do is go online, register. It's a free event, but you know, you want to bump up a little further, $19.99 for an out of radio show or $29.99 VIP ticket. I love that you guys are doing this for free. What does this look like? Are you going to be all the guys in the band going to be together in the same room, or is it going to be just like one gigantic Zoom meeting?
Yeah, we know. We've been doing it this way since the stay-at-home order was lifted here in town, where, you know, we've been very careful and distancing ourselves, but we will be playing together as a band in the same room, and you just go, and you know, I feel like at this point we've been doing this for a month and a half. If one guy's got it, we all got it, and we're praying to God that none of us have it. But it's fun. It's fun to make music with my brothers again. Doing the Zoom stuff was hard. You know, it's hard when that's been put in your heart. So we're blessed to come together and just lift up the name of the Lord together.
Yeah, well, this has been super fun to talk to you. This is Dave Fry, lead singer of Sidewalk Prophets, virtual Pittsburgh concert coming up Friday, July 24th. For more information, Dave, where do they go?
Just go to sidewalkprophets.com. And yeah, like you said, it's free. Just grab a ticket, tune in, and it's going to be an incredible, incredible night.
Really cool. I'm just going to check it out, Dave. Hey, man, keep on making music. God be with you, Dave. Really a good time to have you with us.
Thanks. God bless y'all.
Take a break, come back. Kath and I have committed to reading scripture on the air ever since this began months and months ago. There's something that's powerful about it. If you do it yourself, I don't have to tell you that, but stick around. We'll talk about that, read some scripture next.
Did you buy into the timeshare lies?
I can tell you that I had a 4-year experience with a timeshare corporation who did nothing but lie to me.
That swapping locations was easy?
They made this sound that this would be a really good deal, that I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted to. That never worked out.
Timeshare lies. Thousands of timeshare owners know the feeling. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I worked for the largest timeshare company in the world. When I learned the truth about what they were selling, I quit my job and instead became the pioneer in helping folks get out of their timeshare contracts legally. I understand that trusting anyone after buying a timeshare is a difficult task. That's why I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
For a free information kit on how to cancel your timeshare, call Wesley Financial Group now. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757. 800-605-5757.
Eager to continue your theological learning or engage more deeply with Scripture? Enroll as a non-degree or certificate student and take Greek, Hebrew, or other courses online this fall at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. Application deadline is July 30th. Visit pts.edu.
So I was doing yard work the other day.
leaning over a prickly bush, holding a heavy pair of electric hedge trimmers, sweat dripping off of me, and thinking to myself, "Self, how is it that we've come to loving yard work so much?" I think the answer is, aside from being outside in God's handiwork, we love yard work because we love the immediate results and the feeling we get when the job is done. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, helping you with a refinance or cash out refinance is similar. A lot of people don't want to do it because they don't want the short-term sweat. But when you consider that rates are historically low, and when you consider that our company has a direct lender advantage, getting to use its own money within its own walls, and how that often leads to a better rate and monthly savings for you, the end feeling could definitely be worth it. Plus, we'll do most of the hard work for you. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
Looking for an easier way to find your next job? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Visit expresspros.com to find one of over 830 locations to help support your workforce needs.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
You know, we often see what goes on during the commercial breaks, maybe better than what goes on during the air. We may be the only radio show in the world that goes from Hall & Oates, can't go for that, to live scripture reading. That's how we roll here on the ride home.
You tune into the program.
I can't go for that. No.
We'd love
no
to play for be. You, except that streaming prohibits such things now.
Very nice. Okay, so since the pandemic has been upon us, actually long before that, Kath and I have been really committed to reading scripture out loud live on the air. Of course, if you read scripture yourself, you know the power of it, right? I don't have to sort of tell you what it is. But if you don't, please do so around the dinner table, even with yourself at some point during the day. It's actually deeply life-changing, so highly recommended. Today we're going to read John 17, 20 through 23. Kath?
And Jesus prayed to his Father, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message,
that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one.
In them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me."
We got so excited about the last part, we had to say it together.
We did. John 17, 20 through 23. In one, in Jesus. That's fabulous.
And we also remember that today, and this is really a horrible segue, and I don't know how to do it in any way that makes sense. Do you have a better way, John?
Are you hungry?
Yes, I am very, very hungry.
I believe reading scripture out loud makes you a little hungrier.
Get out of here. Guess what? Today is National Mac and Cheese Day. That's what I was going to say.
That's very nice. Mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, and of course, you know, you always love your mom's cooking, right? When I was a kid, my mom made the best mac and cheese, and I'll tell you why. Because at the top of this gigantic, you know, what's it called that they put in the oven, Kath?
The casserole dish.
Mm-hmm. The mac and cheese was always covered with like big chunks of sharp cheese. And then that sharp cheese got super crusty, kind of brown on top.
I love that part.
Oh, that is so good, right? Maybe throw a few little tiny breadcrumbs in there on top of that just to add to the extra bite for that first bite, especially.
Mm-hmm. It's so delicious.
It is delicious.
Did you know, John, did you know that mac and cheese recipes can be found dating all the way back to the late 1200s in southern Italy?
I did not know that. That is very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The late 1200s.
Mm-hmm. I don't need it. I know.
You don't eat mac and cheese?
Mm-mm.
Ever?
Never.
Ever?
No, it's really, really bad for
you. So what? It's not that bad.
I don't know.
It's not that bad, Kath. Listen, you know what?
It's only filled with butter and cheese and you poured over carbs. Come on.
On your deathbed, you'll say, I wish I would have ate more mac and cheese.
You might be right.
You will. I'm guaranteeing that.
You might be right.
Have some mac and cheese.
Okay.
I can't go for that. No, can do.
Anyway, in other news, the Pittsburgh Pens, who are really hoping that we're actually going to finish out the NHL season. It seems like this is the next season, right?
I think it's a mistake.
I don't know why. I really do kind of feel like we should just maybe shelve this
It's a mistake.
Over, but whatever. We're going to do it.
Whoever wins the Stanley Cup is going to have a gigantic asterisk next to it.
No, you're probably right. Anyway, so they're preparing now. They're going to be away from their families for a long time, right, John? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. They're going to say goodbye to their families. It looks as though this is going to happen the end of this week.
Okay.
That once they enter into this, training camp, the Pens and all NFL players will not see their family for at least the next 2.5 months.
Wow.
I mean, how is that even going to work? You know, I have to go back to our guest, Ryan Birch, who is a professor at Eastern Illinois University. What he said to me was really surprising that he would admit that on the air, that he said, they're going to go back. They're committed to going back. But he believes that at some point during the fall semester, all colleges will be overrun with the virus and then we'll retreat from that quickly and we'll go back home. Oh, so my guess is this is what's going to happen with baseball, football, and hockey. All good intentions aside, all willing to try to grab the ring or make some more money.
I believe that. I'm looking at this optimistically. We're going to play baseball and we're all going to love it.
I don't think so.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.